Preface. Don't be John Kennedy. I met John F. Kennedy Jr. in the spring of 1981, when I was a 25-year-old graduate student. He was a 21-year-old sophomore history major at Brown University, and I was the teaching assistant in a class on 20th-century American political history. Our friendship got off to an inauspicious start. Before the semester began, the professor, renowned historian James T. Patterson, told me that he wanted his assistants to deliver a lecture as preparation for a teaching career. I had applied to the PhD program in American Civilization to study early American history, so I was not as familiar with the recent past. I had, however, always been fascinated with the 1960s and the Kennedy presidency in particular. So I decided to give a critical lecture on JFK and civil rights. I had been vaguely aware that John was on campus and had seen him several times, usually surrounded by a gaggle of giddy girls. It never occurred to me that he would take a class that would deal with his father's presidency. On the first day, I stood in the back of the room handing out syllabi to students pouring into the Manning Chapel classroom. Looking over the line of students, I spied a large mane of unruly brown hair slowly approaching me. Please, no, I thought to myself, don't be John Kennedy. It was bad enough that I would be speaking in public for the first time and doing so in front of the professor I wanted as my advisor. Now, I faced the prospect of criticizing a president while his son looked on. A few seconds later, John approached, reached for the syllabus, thanked me, and then sat down in the back of the room. I would have tried switching my topic had I thought Patterson would allow it, but I would need a better excuse than, I am afraid to give a lecture about President Kennedy while John is in the class. That statement would surely have marked the end of my graduate career, and rightly so. My talk was scheduled for March, so for the next few months, I labored to write and rehearse the lecture. It took about 5 weeks to write the talk, and then I spent another 4 weeks practicing it. Every day, I would recite the entire 50-minute lecture before breakfast, after dinner, and again before I went to sleep. I had a lot on the line. Not only would I be giving a public lecture for the first time, and doing so in front of more than 100 bright brown undergraduates, but also I was auditioning for a spot as one of Patterson's PhD students. Oh, and then there was John. Although I must confess, Patterson scared me more than John. At 10:55 a.m. on the day of my lecture, I marched into the hall and took my position behind the podium, hands tucked safely in my pockets so students would not see them shaking. Professor Patterson took a seat in the middle of the room. Looking around, I took some comfort in seeing that John was absent, a not uncommon occurrence. But just as I was about to start, the back door swung open and in he walked. Students have a natural tendency to sit as far away from the professor as possible, so the back rows were full. John kept moving forward until he plopped down in the seat directly in front of me. John and I sat only a few feet apart that day, but we came from vastly different worlds. I grew up in a working-class family outside Philadelphia. I had been a mediocre student for most of my life, but finally turned things around in college, earning good enough grades to get accepted at Brown. Education has often been the pathway to the American dream, and that was certainly true in my case. Getting into Brown was my big break. There was no way I was going to screw up this opportunity. The first line of my lecture, which I can still recall almost 4 decades later, read, President Kennedy was a pragmatist who did not impose moral solutions on problems. Simple enough, yet somehow my well-rehearsed words escaped me the moment I needed them most. I stood in front of the room paralyzed by fear, fear of the 100 students in the class, fear of my intimidating professor, and perhaps most of all, fear of giving a lecture about a man while his son sat a few feet away. My first public lecture thus began with a succession of ahs and ums. My mind had gone blank. I thought to myself, just look down and read the words on the page in front of you. During times of crisis, some people are able to reach deep.